from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Have been when it comes to Joe Castiglione. Joe Castiglione is the longtime broadcaster, radio broadcaster for the Red Sox. He has been doing it for about 42 years, over 42 years. He is going into the Hall of Fame as the Ford C. Frick Award winner, which honors a broadcaster every single year. So in other words, he's going into Cooperstown. You can call it whatever you want, the Ford C. Frick Award, the Hall of Fame. It is going into the Hall of Fame. Joe Castiglione is going into the Hall of Fame. So I wanted to spend this podcast. It's very important, and I know we can get to the standings and the races and the trade deadline, which we just got to in the last podcast, and we had talked to Teoscar Hernandez, and we're going to have talking, you know, even more people. We're out in L.A. We're talking to the Dodgers and Joe Kelly and all of it. But today we're pausing to understand the importance, at least for me, of Joe Castiglione's big day. Joe Castiglione is going into the Hall of Fame. I wanted, before we get to my interview or my conversation, not my interview, my conversation with Joe, once again, I just want to say my experiences with Joe. I got a chance, or I have had a chance, an honor, to do hundreds of broadcasts by now with Joe. I think it goes back to 2013. I basically was a fill-in to the fill-in to the fill-in. I do a lot of spring training games with Joe. I usually do some regular season games with Joe. But like I said, it's added up to hundreds of broadcasts. And first of all, I'm honored. I always have been honored. Honored to do the broadcast, but also honored to do the broadcast alongside Joe Castiglione. And it really is such a great experience when you think about getting to do these broadcasts next to Joe, because of not only because of his longevity, not only because he's iconic, but just because of who he is. I can tell you that, you know, all broadcasters come from a different cloth. Everybody is a different personality. Everyone does a different way, and they're. There's a lot of different ways to do it. Joe's way is very unique, but the biggest thing with Joe is that he's a kind-hearted person who has a self-deprecating sense of humor and loves baseball. All of that is tremendously important. Tremendously important. And the biggest thing when it comes to the Hall of Fame, and as I wrote this today, I mean, you can say he's genuinely excellent at his job, his unmatched love for the game, there's no question. But most importantly, I think of all these things that allows him to walk through those halls or be entered into those halls in Cooperstown is the impact that he and his voice has had on multiple generations of those who have come to care about baseball. Not who have cared about baseball, but but also who have come to care about baseball because they hear that voice. Maybe they fall in love with the rhythm of it, the tone of it, and then that leads them to liking the game even more. And believe me, for generations, not generation, generations, Joe Castiglione is that voice that is implanted into people's mind, their mindset. So once again, I want to read a little bit from the article that I wrote for WEI.com today on Joe. I, however, am just one with an admittedly unique view of the man of the hour. The rest of New Englanders, raised with even a semblance of baseball in their blood, fed Castiglione's voice as their constant transfusion. Maybe it was your introduction to the game, or perhaps the signature description and tone represented a reminder that the gray days were giving way to the beautiful Fenway summer nights. Whatever the case or whatever the demographic, Joe Castiglione is the kind of security blanket sports-loving folks have come to rely on. That is the kind of reliability a baseball season brings, and for more than 42 years, Joe has delightfully delivered. So there are so many things I want to say. There are so many things that I want to do and to congratulate Joe on his big day going into Cooperstown. I am just going to summarize it by just saying this. I am honored. I am honored to get a chance to have done what I've done alongside Joe Castiglione, Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione, as I finish off this article saying, Joe has helped bring us all into the brightness that is baseball. Now it's time to dim the house and turn on the spotlight. Hall of Fame Joe deserve it. We all are better baseball fans and to a larger degree, better people in some ways, because of Joe Castiglione. So, no better way to celebrate Joe on the Baseballs and Boring podcast than by having Joe Castiglione on the Baseballs and Boring podcast. All right, there's no one on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than Joe Castiglione.
That's because I know baseball is not boring.
You do. You basically, along with Joe Kelly, are the two people who have the straws that stir the drink when it comes to the show. Joe, I just want to start off by, you know, saying how honored I am to be part of your life in any way I am, and see how your excellence throughout the years. And I know that a lot of people are saying that, but all I can say is where I'm coming from. And I just, as you go into the Hall of Fame, there's a lot of things I want to say, Joe, but just let me know. Just know I appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. You've been a great friend, and I've learned a lot. You always get your nose right and your pulse right on what's happening, and you're in the speech.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So we talked about the speech. It was first day of spring training, which I felt honored, where it was the first I was part of the first broadcast you did as an elected Hall of Famer ever.
Yeah, you pointed that out. I didn't realize yes, you were with me, right?
Well, I'm honored in so many ways. But we talked even then, you were working on the speech. But so you've sort of, I think at that time you said, I got it to 12 minutes, it has to be 10. And last I checked in, you're like, I'm just going to go 13.
Yeah, that's about right. I sent it in today. Because
they printed it
in big font, so I don't have to wear my cheaters.
Oh,
and
really?
It makes it a lot easier to follow. So I'm anxious to see that, and we'll have a couple of rehearsals, I think, because we're getting there next Wednesday, and the event is Saturday afternoon. But you know, it's a big thank you, basically. Yeah. A lot of people to thank, people I work for, people I work with, people who helped me get started, and to keep me going, partners and others behind the scenes as well. And you know, when you last that long, a lot of people help you. And I've had many blessings and many
great friends.
It's
tough to get there 13 minutes, yeah. But it's, as we get closer here, has it hit different? Like, it's obviously, we know that the great story about you hanging up on them when you got the call and everything else, but
that's in there.
it's a great story. But you know, it's one thing we talking and talking and talking, and now you're on the verge. Is it hitting different?
I think it is. I read the speech today. It was a little more emotional than
really
I was when I was putting it together. because certain people trigger reactions when you mention them, especially people who are no longer with us, like Johnny Pesky and Lou Gorman and Ken Coleman and Bob Starr. But I got a call from Pat Hughes, the voice of the Chicago Cubs, who was last year's winner, and he gave me some advice about the speech. He said, for one thing, you're not going to be able to see the audience because of the way the lights are set up.
Oh,
he said,
interesting.
He could barely make out his wife. I said, well, that must help you keep the emotions in check, right? And he agreed. So we'll have to practice that before.
Did he go 13
happens.
Minutes? What did he say?
He said he went 15.
Oh, come on. Yeah. But it's starting to, you obviously, you know, you're gassing up the tank and you're ready to go.
Yeah, and they called me last week, Josh Roberts, the president of the Hall of Fame, and asked if I would moderate a discussion with Pedro Martinez and David Ortiz about 2004,
really?
The 20th anniversary, after my speech. And I said, of course, I'd be happy to do that. It's not a difficult assignment with those two.
Yeah, what a time. But I know that you've probably been asked this before, Joe. Maybe I've asked you, but when did the Hall of Fame sort of get on your radar? Like, when you're young, you just want a job, right?
Yeah, after 1983, all I wanted was to get a contract for 1984.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was never on the radar, Rob. This award started in 1978. The first winner was my broadcast hero, Mel Allen, along with Red Barber. But I never gave it a thought. And then when I got on the ballot, I said, that's nice. The second time, a little more hopeful. The third time, the phone didn't ring, and
yeah.
The fourth time was the charm. So I think when you're on the ballot like that, it puts it in your mind a little bit more, but you still never expect to win. I mean, there were so many great candidates on the ballot, including network broadcasters, that, and there are a ton of us all together. The vote is never announced. I still don't know what the vote was, and probably never will. Maybe next year, if I have a vote, I'll know what
so
that
many,
vote is. But
so many, there's I know that you've talked to so many, been a mentor to so many people. But it's now you can say, hey, this is Hall of Famer. It's like with the Tampa Bay Rays, talk about pitching, Joe. People listen a little bit harder, right?
Yeah.
So now that it's Hall of Fame Joe, it's like, okay, tell us the secret behind broadcasting.
Well, you know, I'm not inducted into the Hall of Fame.
It's a
Frick Award, and I signed Frick Award, HOF.
Yeah.
Rather than Hall of Famer, because that's for the players and the managers. But, I think it's gratifying, especially your peers, look at you that way.
So when you go back and you say, I love power rankings, right? Give me some of the things that you think were the most important to be what you became.
Well, to be in the Hall of Fame, I think it's longevity.
Yeah.
I think it's big moments, and you can't control that. But I've been blessed to be here for 4 world championships
years. You're longevity because you're good, though.
And longevity helps you get a better Trendex and a better recognition factor because you've been around longer. But I think big moments and being with a big, good franchise, signature franchise, and those type of things really make it possible. I mean, if I were with a sixth place team like I was before I got here, it would be harder to be noticed. Some of those guys are in because they were great broadcasters, but it's a lot easier when your team is winning and you're in the spotlight, and especially when you have the cloud of Red Sox Nation. I think that's critical.
Yeah, well, a lot of people get behind you. Obviously, your heroes are so many. When did you, this is going even further back, when did you realize that you wanted to be a broadcaster?
As soon as I knew I wasn't good enough to play.
Really?
And as Ernie Harwell likes to say, I wanted to be a player in the worst way, and that's exactly how I played. But, you know, I think I realized about age 10 or 11 that I wasn't going to be a player. And Mel Allen was my hero. I hate to admit it, but I was a big Yankee fan in those days, being from New Haven. And I think I set my sights on that. And I practice in the backyard doing play-by-play, my own fungo games, and people thought I was crazy. But and I try to
But you were laser focused. Like that's you knew that's what you wanted to do.
I did. You know, one of the nicest compliments I had when I went to my 50-year reunion at Colgate, one of my classmates said, "You're the guy who's doing exactly what he said he wanted to do."
That's awesome.
And I realized, wow, that's really a blessing.
That is such a good thing. That is like the one of the best compliments you can get.
It is, because, I mean, the focus was there. What would I have done if I hadn't made it? I don't know. I really don't know. And, you know, one of the greatest realizations I had was maybe 10 or 15 years ago when I came to the conclusion that, hey, I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to sell insurance or any kind of job.
It wasn't
like
till then
that.
You're like, oh, man, I'm going to be able to do this.
Don't take this away. You know, I love this. And when you come to that realization, I think you you realize you have it on easy street. Other, you know, you have to work at it. It's been a lot of fun, but I've had a lot of people that helped me.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to ask you about baseball. So this is a question that I ask. I love asking players. We asked, actually, Commissioner Baseball asked him, the first time you walked into a ballpark, and, you know, everyone's experience is different, but there are constant themes, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but one of them is you walk into Fenway, the green's never greener, the white's never whiter. Do you remember when you walked into a major league park for the first time?
Yeah, the first time I walked into a park, I think I was six, and it was Jerry Coleman Day at Yankee Stadium. He was just back from Korea, and he became my first baseball hero. And I told him that later years, because he's a Ford Frick winner as well, over 40 years in the San Diego Padres booth before he passed away. And he says, I never should have played that day. I weighed 130 pounds. I went 0-for-4 and made an error, but Casey Stengel made me play. And he was a wonderful guy. But I do remember the aura of Yankee Stadium with the triple deck and the facade. And I remember my first time at Fenway. It was at the end of the summer before my senior year in college. Stood in the bleachers. They actually had benches there in the bleachers, and to see the wall for the first time, I think, was really what was so remarkable and really breathtaking to see the green.
That is so awesome. So when another baseball question I love talking about is you get a chance to sit here and watch games in person, and I think even before the pitch clock, going to a baseball game is the best sport to go to. You've done, as we know, you've done basketball because you've had Johnny Mose put a cigarette on your pants or something. Right? But going to a baseball game is the best.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because it's outside, and you know, you're never really going to see a good game or not. There are certainly not all good games, but you always have a chance to see something you never saw before.
Yeah.
I mean, who thought on April 29th, 1986, with the media at the Garden for the Celtics playoff game against Atlanta and 44 degrees and misting that you'd see a 20-strikeout game for the first time in history? You just never know, and that adds to the excitement of it. Plus, you know, I consider myself a baseball historian, and, you know, I love to compare things. I love to watch players and see how far they're going to go, and yeah, even if your team is out of it.
Well, it's personality. Like this—that's one other thing that's great about you. You have great relationships with so many guys, and you obviously throughout the years. But even the time that I've been with you, it's—I just love how when a guy does well, like you feel it, right? This is
I do,
because you're a human being. You're a good person, and you see the good in other people.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, we all have our favorites.
Yeah.
And you know people better than others. That's a great thing about baseball, the 25 and now 26 players and personalities. And obviously you gravitate to some more than others, or you just, by happenstance, you get closer to some more than others. But many of them become lifetime friends, and several of them are telling me they're going to be in Cooperstown. So I'm very excited about that, and that could bring emotions out.
Oh, well, I told you what one of the captains of Team Joe's doing, Rich Hill. You know what he's doing?
Well, he's bringing his wife and son.
Well, he's driving up and back all in one day.
Yes, he is. That's of and beyond the call.
I mean, but you know, you have a lot of people. It's is a testament to, you know, and I think that it was so great to have you, Rich, in the booth and with you.
Oh, yeah, and, right? Spring training. He's got a future there. Maybe he'll help us on the mound before the season's over.
Well, I told him he's going to throw a first pitch here, then he's going to, like, sign a contract and then do a broadcast. He can do it all. But it's you know, another part about it is when people talk about you, it's not only baseball. Your voice is ingrained, and I'm not like asking you to like, this is just the fact, is ingrained in their life, is ingrained in their how they grew up. I know for me, Joe, it was sitting up in my parents' cabin because we didn't have, in Freeport, Maine, we didn't have a TV. We listened to Red Sox game, staring at the ceiling. Those voices were always ingrained in me. And for everybody who follows Red Sox, that's it. Your voice is ingrained in them.
Well, it's a blessing. You know, when I first came here, I got ripped for not having the huge pipes.
Oh, it's really.
But we all have our own styles, and it's a matter of getting used to. And I think it's the passion more than anything. That's more important than having the big boomer. And the credibility. You need the trust of.
Well, I think it's
New
being.
England
I,
fans.
Think it's, I think Joe, like, and anybody who like says leans on voice inflection or what pipes, but it's being genuine.
Yeah,
that's it.
You're right.
I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, your fan base has to trust you, and have confidence in you, and that's why, you know, when somebody makes an error, you say you don't cover up for things. But you let them make their own judgments, too.
I just want to say also, I want to point out your family. It's your, not only, obviously, we talking about your greatness and how much you've meant, but getting to know your family and having your family around, and it's not an easy job, right?
It's not, and that's why Jan gets so much credit. I mean, taking care of the house, raising three great kids, now six grandchildren. She's done a lot on her own without many relatives helping her, because she's in Ohio, they're from Ohio, and it's been just a blessing. And you know, she gave up her career. She didn't go back to teach for a while, but pretty much sacrificed it for me and my career. And you know, there were some uncertain times along the way in terms of job security. But it's all worked out, thanks to many blessings.
Well, seeing you down with your grandkids, whether it's in the booth or in the field, you know, that's the coolest. Like, that's the best.
They never want me to leave. They love the perks.
I believe the ice cream machine. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, that's a staple.
Joe, again, I just want to thank you for everything. And of all of my life's honors, it's right up there. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Rob. And hope we can do many more broadcasts together, because I always learn something from you. Get the pulse of the team right there, Pat.
Thanks, Joe.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.